All right. Praise the Lord on this last Lord's Day Sunday of August. Time flying by. And down here, this short life, the Bible said our life but a vapor that appeared for a little while. This really don't last long here. I've buried up all of my family, most of my friends, and I'll soon join them. But as the time does allow us, we're here today in the house of God. And we're going to be having a good Sunday school lesson this morning. We just want to pray over it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. Lord, we do well to give the most earnest heed to it. I pray, Father, Lord, you would help us today to do that. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, open our ears. We might be able to hear, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord, as He helps us, Lord, to understand it. And Lord, I pray you'd lead in this lesson, God. Bring to our mind, Father, things that, Lord, that we'll be able to understand, Lord, for the hour we're living in, and be able to put it in perspective. And Lord, we ask these blessings, giving you praise and glory. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I don't have to worry about how I look. Amen. We're just recording by way of the recorder, not a live streaming. But we were teaching in Daniel chapter 6, and we're really right to the point where Daniel is fixing the, you know, sometimes you get put in a predicament just like Daniel's in. He was set up. Daniel was envied by those in the kingdom. They come to the king really to ensnare Daniel. They said, well, we can't find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God there in verse number 5. They're wanting to find an occasion against Daniel, and that's mentioned in verse 4. But they couldn't find no occasion. They couldn't find no fault. For as much as he was faithful, and I would to God that we had some faithful today, that they couldn't find any fault in them, that they couldn't find any occasion in them, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Now, David mentioned about them that rule over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Daniel fit that criteria. He was faithful. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, David said, these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalms of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. And the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Daniel met that criteria. He was faithful, and he was ruling in the fear of God. And he got promoted. He'd done everything right. And matter of fact, in our lesson before we get to in this chapter, verse 28 says, Daniel prospered. He was doing good. But they conspired against him. They were using wickedness to put together some way to get Daniel in trouble. So they go before the king, and they said, King Darius, live forever. They're boosting his ego a little, trying to flatter him with words, and he fell right for it. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together. In other words, they said, we took a poll, and everybody feels like this is what we need to do. You better watch them polls. To establish a royal statute to make a firm decree And that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king. Again, they're trying to flatter the king, and he actually has fallen right into it, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. That's where we stopped last Sunday. So all of this has been put together for one purpose. Like I said, Daniel's going to get in trouble, but he's going to get in trouble for doing right. And if I'm going to get in trouble, I'd rather get in trouble for doing right than doing wrong. So our first verse, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel's posture was kneeling in prayer. Not like many today that kneel in opposition, that rebel against, you know, the blessing of God. These people that are kneeling at the national anthem, they're really rebelling against the blessing of God. I thank God to be born in America. I thank God to live in America. Closest thing to heaven on earth is America. And Daniel's kneeling and praying and giving thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now he knows he's breaking the decree, but he doesn't have any choice here. A similar situation to this is in the book of Acts, where Peter said, judge you whether it be right to obey God or obey men. In Acts chapter number 4, they called and commanded them not to speak, verse 18, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. In other words, they said, you can go preach, you can go teach, just don't do it in Jesus' name. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. The man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle was showed. You get put in predicaments. Peter again, in the next chapter of Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You're going to be put in positions just like Daniel was put in, even right now today. Mm-hmm. It ain't been that long since they said they shut all the churches down. And I didn't observe that. And they was talking about getting in trouble for coming to church. That's the right kind of trouble. I don't want nobody to get sick. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't trying to put a hazardous situation on no one. I told everyone, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want to be vaccinated, be vaccinated. But listen, in everything that you do, keep God in mind. And put God first. Daniel put God first. And it put him in jeopardy. And he was set up. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. He wasn't trying to hide it. And making supplication before his God. Now that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to find him in trouble, praying before God. Verse 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. They brought him in on it. Hast thou not signed a decree? Yeah, I thought about this scripture on the way over here this morning. And it didn't really make a lot of sense to the hour we're living in. But Jesus talked about brother going against brother by the law, and that before the unbelievers. Let me see if I can find that. I was just driving down the road, and according to Bonnie, I was driving about 60-some mile an hour. She tried to keep up with me. But anyway, I didn't know she was back there, and I was driving like an idiot. I ain't going to deny that. But let me see if I can find this. It may not have been Jesus, so that might have been Paul. But anyway, the law can be a good thing, or the law can be misused. In this case, the law was misused. And they had got this king to sign this decree, and they put him on the spot, and they said, "Hast thou not signed a decree?" So him being king, they have put him where a king don't want to be, where he knows that what they've done put him in this predicament. Yeah. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." So their plan has worked. I probably watch the news way too much. A lot of these plans that have been construed are actually working. One reason they're working is we're not paying attention. Let me give you, for instance, right here. Just throw this out there. Has anybody ever heard of Harvard College? Yeah. They just appointed an atheist to be chaplain over the college. Does that make any sense?
No.
Just take, for instance, you've got a young girl.
No.
She's got, her heart's broke. She's got troubles. Wants someone to counsel, comfort her. She goes talk to the chaplain, and he's an atheist. You see what I mean? Sometimes things are construed.
Yeah.
They're teaching right now in our public schools critical race theory. Theory. Don't forget that. Theory. We don't have critical race. There's no need in stirring the pot on critical race. We don't have it. They're teaching in our schools right now a different history than the true history of this great country that God raised up. That's why they removed all the statues. That's why they burned all the buildings down. They're teaching a different kind of sex education. There shouldn't be no sex education in the schools anyway. But this is all in their plan. Their plan is to raise up an atheist generation, America-hating generation, a racist generation that's so divided that we can't be what made America. United we stand and divided we fall. I'm just telling you, a lot of things, they accomplished their purpose. They construed this against Daniel. They brought the king into it, and it worked. Verse 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. What did they expect? I mean, Daniel's real. Now, we've got a lot down here that looks real, but it's not real. And when it comes to the test, you can tell whether something's real or not. Daniel was real. They had needed Daniel to interpret the dreams. They had needed Daniel to read the writing on the wall. They had needed Daniel all through here. And he got promoted in every case because he was real. And beloved, if you're real, you'll be put in the same predicaments that Daniel got put in. You see, you just don't fit in down here. We're a peculiar people. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we're going to be in the world till the Lord comes and takes us out of the world, and then the world's going to wish we're still here. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. The king knew better than this. He got suckered into this. So he's trying everything in his power to figure out a way out for Daniel. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king. They're not going to go away. You know, I kind of wish we was on live streaming this morning. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing as global warming? And yet it's being promoted as I speak right now. A lot of this nonsense has no place, but they're making place for it. It's like little foxes. And they just approved a $3.5 trillion or some kind of garbage pile mess. And they're going to try to go all electric. And somebody's got to make the electricity. They just don't really tell all the truths. They just tell half truths. But even electric cars, I just went yesterday to Indiana. And I come by a house and there's a car out there plugged in. Somebody bought into it, not me. I'm going to that old Silverado till it don't go no more, and I'm probably going to look for another new man. But you know, if it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it.
No.
Speaking of fix it, Sister Sharon, I did go by Lowe's, and they do carry those doors, but they got to order them.
Yeah.
So I've got to be precise before they order it. And I am working on it. But these men, they're not letting go. Verse 15, these men assembled unto the king. They're putting him on the spot. And said to the king, now they're a little bold right here because they're talking to a king. Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Now, they put this king in a terrible spot. He's labored all the way to the sun going down to deliver Daniel. Verse 16, then the king commanded. See, they put him where he shouldn't be. He's doing something he don't want to do. He's doing something he knows better. But because of this thing they conspired against Daniel, he became a player, didn't even realize it till it came down. So here he is. He's commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, boy, I like this. This is really a heathenistic king. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king is on Daniel's side. You know, he may not be a child of God, but he knows Daniel is.
Right.
In verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose not be changed concerning Daniel. So Daniel's in the lion's den now. They have put a stone over the opening. So what do you think there is where Daniel's at? Darkness. Now he's hearing things. He's in darkness. I don't want to be in a lion's den myself, but it may come to that. You know, what I'm teaching here this morning is really, it's up to date. Hey, Carolyn, you know where Brother Ed is? I ain't neither.
Oh, we didn't call him.
Which, let me go out here and see if I can
get him. We did. We done tried to call him.
He didn't
answer his call. Now, he said something to me about he had to go somewhere. I don't remember when. This may be that Sunday. He said, I'll tell you, I won't be able to be there, but I don't know what day it was. But anyway, I'm just going to say, we're just taping by way of internet here. We're not live streaming today.
When Tammy gets here, she can do it.
Yeah, we'll get her to pick up. But Daniel's in darkness. Daniel's in a lion's den. And these ain't stuffed lions. These are real man-eating lions. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. That means he ain't sleeping good. He don't want to sleep good. He's not asking for someone to come sing him to sleep. As a matter of fact, he knows that he was a player in this. And Daniel, he got in trouble, but it's the right kind of trouble. He got in trouble for praying to his God. Verse 19. Then the king rose very early in the morning. I like that. I do that myself. I got up this morning 3 o'clock. I get up very early in the morning. I do that about every morning. I get up about 3 o'clock. I don't know what's going on. I make good use of the time. Cup of coffee, couple Pop-Tarts, good word of God, good prayer. Catch up on the news a little bit. The king rose up very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. Now that's plural, lions.
Yeah.
Verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Now he didn't get crickets after he made this request. And he didn't get a surprise. I believe that he had enough faith to believe that Daniel made it, or he wouldn't even have went to the lion's den. You know, faith is a wonderful thing. Daniel had enough faith to go in the lion's den, thanks to the God of heaven. And the king had enough faith to come and inquire about Daniel. And Daniel says in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now this king's crying, Bonnie. He knows he's done wrong. He got set up. And he was tied in this. He got his hands tied. He couldn't get out of it. He comes, Sharon, very early in the morning with a lamentable voice. And he's crying out, Daniel, is your God able? God not only was able, but Daniel, he says to the king, O king, live forever. You know, he's comforting the king. They come to inquire, to seek about him, to see whether he made it through the night. Then Daniel goes on after he's comforted the king. He says in verse 22, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I've done no hurt. He had done no wrong. He might have got thrown in the lion's den, but it wasn't for doing wrong. Now, if you can be as innocent as Daniel was, you don't have to worry about nothing if you're saved. Mm-hmm. God promised to keep you as apple of His eye. He promised He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But if you're not innocent, you might get some chastisement. You might get some judgment. A lot of people aren't here today because they weren't innocent before God. Ananias, Sapphira, you know, they probably looked pretty good there in the church. They went and sold a piece of ground and brought the money and laid it there at the apostles' feet. Peter looked over and said, Why is Satan put it in your heart to keep back part of the money? See, he wanted the praise of men, but he didn't want to do right to get it. Let me see if I can just bring that to our attention here real quick. Because God words it so good, you can't do better than God does. In Acts chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? You know, Ananias, if it wasn't for God, he could have did what he did. He's not innocent. That's all I'm trying to say is, he's not innocent. Daniel was. And Peter goes on to say, while it remained, was it not thine own? He said, that was your land. You could have done anything you wanted to do with it. But after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Ananias was not innocent. He got brought into judgment because he knew better than to do what he did. And a young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours. They must have had Timex watches back then, Donnie. It's about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say she probably went and got her hair done. You know what I mean? They kept back part of the money. Kind of, she probably come in, you know, fixed up pretty good, you know. Had a new dress on, had a new hairdo, looking pretty sharp, you know. And as she comes in, not knowing what was done, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She could have cleared herself right here. She could have said, no, we actually sold it for this much. But look, and she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. You know, it just wasn't worth it. I'm just saying, Daniel was innocent. Don't be a partaker. He done what was right. And because he was innocent, God sent his angel, shut those lions' mouths. And you know what? God took care of him. God will take care of you.
Right.
He sure will.
He will, yes.
He said, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I've done no hurt. Daniel's still honoring the king that signed the decree that put him in the lion's den. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Let me tell you something, the perilous times that we're living in right now, I only know one safe place. I only know one refuge from the storm. They're just kind of right now getting good and set up like these that conspired against Daniel. I know we're going to have tribulation in the world. I know that. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world, and we're overcomers through Him. But they examined Daniel. It says, and they found no hurt, no manner of hurt, not even a scratch, Brother Donnie. He didn't even have one of them little scratches like I got right here. No manner of hurt. There's another. There's where that briar got me, and there's where I burnt. He didn't have a scratch one. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He didn't go in that lion's den alone, Carolyn. He went in there with faith in the one that was able. Mm-hmm. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered Nebuchadnezzar. Well, come on, Eddie. Here we go. They answered this king, Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee. He said, we do fear you, king, but we fear God even greater. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. That's a terrible predicament. They done been threatened with a fiery burning furnace. Come on, a burning fiery furnace. Man, I can't even talk this morning. They have been threatened in verse 15, and their answer is, we're not careful. We're not afraid. Verse 17, if it be so that we get thrown in the fiery, in the burning fiery furnace, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. That's faith. When faith is all you got, that's all you need. Right. If it's faith in God and not in something else, He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were firm in their faith. Daniel was firm in his faith. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Verse 24. Now this is the king in charge here. And the king commanded, and they brought those men. Now buddy, they don't have a safeguard like Daniel did. Daniel had God to help him. He said, God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. Now, these men that the king commands and they brought up, which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children. Somebody said, I ain't hurt nobody but myself. Well, it don't sound like that here. They didn't just hurt themselves. They hurt their children. They hurt their wives in this conspiracy. They were not innocent. They built their own gallows and hung themselves on it. The king commanded, and they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They didn't even make it to the bottom. The lions was waiting. Sharon, they's already hungry. God wouldn't let them eat Daniel. God wouldn't even let them touch Daniel. And they're hungry. Here comes breakfast. Early in the morning. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Boy, now you got to remember, he's king and he's writing a decree that can't be altered. He's pronouncing a blessing on these that are in the world. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Now this king, buddy, he put it in writing on what people need to do. They need to tremble in fear before the God that inhabits eternity unless they're saved. If you're not saved, you know, perfect love casteth out fear. We have nothing to fear if we're saved. But people that are lost, they need to tremble. They need to fear. They need to find this God that I'm telling you, buddy, is ready to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. They need to get in His family. They need to get in line with His Word. And they'll be safe. Verse 27, He delivereth, and He does. He delivered Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego out of the burning fiery furnace. He delivered Daniel out of the lion's den and rescueth. And He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. I don't think he got any argument. Seeing is believing. Now they might have had some doubt on the other side of Daniel being put in the lion's den. But after Daniel came out, they all understood that God was able to deliver, able to rescue, able to work signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Man, Donnie, we come back yesterday. We went down close to Tennessee down there hunting arrowheads. We come back and we seen lightning coming down. We seen rain coming down. And we went to Harper's again yesterday and eat a steak again yesterday. I paid for it this time. But we pulled up there at the parking lot there at Harper's. There was a motorcycle sitting there, and I told Brother Donnie, I said, boy, I'm glad we ain't on one of them. Because when we come out, buddy, it was coming a fall grounder. And whoever was on that motorcycle, they had to ride home in the rain. Now, I used to have a motorcycle myself, but let me say this, they're kind of fair weather transportation. I was kind of glad to be in that old Silverado. Amen. But that lightning coming down and that rain coming down come down from heaven. And it come up on the earth. God watering the earth. The king says he delivereth and rescueth, work of signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I want you to understand, I know we're not in heaven, but even in the wickedness that Daniel was living in, he prospered. He didn't fail. He was successful. Enoch left behind a testimony that he pleased God. Daniel was able to leave behind a testimony that he pleased God. I know it's difficult. Me and Donnie was talking yesterday, and he was talking about I was lucky. I don't work in the factory no more than I am. I agree with him. I'm glad I don't. But listen, even in that factory when I did work, there were times that I wished I wasn't there. There was times that I wished I was in a better environment, just hearing, kind of like Lot down in Sodom, vexing his righteous soul from day to day from their filthy conversation, and neither was he partaker of their evil deeds. You know, you can be in an evil environment and still maintain your walk with God. Daniel did that. And we've got to do that too. Mm-hmm. We're probably the only Bible that some people ever read. That they read the pages of your life. I remember my pastor one time, he worked out there at Donnelly's where I worked at, and it was tough. I worked out there as a Christian. It was tough. They try you out there, buddy. You better be real. They chew you up and spit you out. But they was making some kind of light one day on the press about being a Christian, about being saved. And one of the men, Eddie Key, that lives right up the road up here, he come to Brother Ed's wife, Karen, her funeral. And when they was making fun of Christianity, Ed said this about my pastor. He said, "I'll tell you one thing. I know he's a Christian. And they're going to make light of you. They're going to try you. They're going to try to persuade you. Come on, go with it. We'll have fun." That ain't the kind of fun you need. I like having fun as much as anybody. But I want to have the right kind of fun. I want to be among my brothers and sisters having fun. I don't want to be having fun down here when people's dying, going to hell. I want to be mindful of my environment. I want to remember that I'm going to give an account one day. Daniel never lost sight of heaven. I know there's a devil down here. I know he wants to sift you like wheat. I know he wants to cause you to have bad dreams, cause you to hurt, cause you to make up some kind of excuse not to go to the house of God. But listen. Oh, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He ain't got time anyway to sit there with a Christian that won't give in. Daniel wouldn't give in. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego wouldn't give in. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You can prosper in an ungodly world by keeping your eyes on Jesus. You know, don't keep your eyes on old Brother Eddie. I'll fail your expectations. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you got your mind stayed on Him, the Bible said you'll have perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. If you got your eyes on Him, you're never going to be disappointed. If you got your mind on Him, you're going to have the peace to make it through any trial that we have down here. Look, we all grumble and complain. I do too. But we don't really have no reason to. We got better things to look forward to. We got better days ahead. They might be bad days right now. But don't lose sight of Jesus and all of these things going on down here right now. I don't like them. I wish they didn't have to happen. I've read enough Bible to know that these things are going to come. I've read enough Bible to know that this ain't my home. I'm just sojourning down here, Bonnie. I'm on my way home. Boy, I got a rose from Bonnie yesterday. It really brightened my day. It's kind of like being in a war and getting a letter from home. How refreshing it is to get a card from Bonnie. I appreciate that so much. Oh my. I hope she never lets up doing that. Oh my. And I'm telling you, that was a blessing. She's got one right now that she wanted to mail to Brother Ed. She forgot to put a stamp on it. She's going to give it to him here today. And he ain't here. But I'll just tell you, buddy, one of those roses from Bonnie's garden will refresh you in the battle we're in, this old flesh. Man, my biggest obstacle is this old flesh. This old flesh wants to complain and whine and make excuse and find fault and give up and everything else. But that Holy Spirit that lives inside wants me to go a little further. wants me to remember that there's a tomorrow on my calendar.
Amen.
So Daniel, I'm going to end on this verse right here. Brother Jerry, Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. The day he was living in, Darius was king. And in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian, he was able to prosper in Darius the Medes and prosper in Cyrus the Persian. And I say the same about us. We can prosper even with the problems of our day. Now, this ain't in our Sunday school lesson, but Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were abducted from Jerusalem and brought into captivity. And I just finished my devotion this week, the book of Jeremiah. I've been reading it for quite a while, but I finished it up this week and done finished the book of Lamentation. But I want to throw a few things out here real quick, right at the end of this lesson. Jeremiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 13, and I'm going to turn there. I believe I should. God said something about King Nebuchadnezzar. And while I'm at it, in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about in the first year of Darius, the son of Esdras, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realms of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of God came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So I just want you to know there's something to not just Jeremiah, but what Daniel was reading those books for. But in Jeremiah chapter 43, I want to bring this across real quick. God had warned Jerusalem. He had sent prophets to them. He warned them. And I want you to listen to what he said about King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar is the one that came against Jerusalem, broke down the gates, burnt the city with fire. Listen to what God said about King Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah 43, verse 10. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, listen to this, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones. Those stones were mentioned right up here in verse 9. I will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as for death to death, such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. He shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment. He shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Bethlehem that is in the land of Egypt, and the house of the gods of Egypt, of the Egyptians, he shall burn with fire. I want you to know, King Nebuchadnezzar was not just God's servant, but he was serving judgment upon idolatry. Now, in Jeremiah 42, verse 5 and 6, then said they to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, so help me God, if we do not, even according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. They come to Jeremiah and said, so help me God, we want you to go see God on our behalf, and whatever he says, we'll do it. I just want you to understand the predicament of Daniel's day. Look at verses 19 through 22. The Lord said concerning you, go ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Now they didn't ask him to inquire on their behalf to God. God's answering through Jeremiah. For you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare us, and we'll do it. And now have I this day declared it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. Now Jeremiah 43, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord had sent them unto him, even all these words, then spake Azara, the son of Hosanna, or son of Hosan, and Jonathan, the son of Kari, all the proud men, boy, we got the proud men today, saying unto Jeremiah, now y'all get this now, Jeremiah just gave them the word of the Lord. Here's what they say. Thou speakest falsely. We're talking about the fake news crowd. Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God have not sent thee today to say, go not into Egypt, to sojourn there. But Barak, the son of Nerah, setteth on thee against us for deliver us to the hand of Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Jonathan, the son of Kerah, and all the captain of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Jonathan, the son of Kerah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah. They were returned from all the nations where they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had left with Jedidiah, the son of Alkim, the son of Shaphan, Lord these names, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak, the son of Nerah. They came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Now you can't do nothing with people that won't do right what you tell them to do.
Right.
Verse Jeremiah 44, verse 1 through 8. God says, the word came to Jeremiah concerning the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Midol. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts of Israel, you have seen all the evil I brought upon Jerusalem, upon all the cities of Judah. Behold, this day they are desolation, no man dwelleth there. God has completely destroyed Jerusalem because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they nor your fathers. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate, but they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear from their wickedness to burn incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury, my anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. And God couldn't, He couldn't spare them. They wouldn't listen. They said, we will not obey. God's answer was, few shall live to know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. Jeremiah 44, verse 28. I'm just telling you, you can't help some people. They will not obey. They will not listen. And God pleaded with them. And then God brought judgment on them. And they found out their word wasn't like His word. His word stood, and their word failed. We'll stop right there. in our Sunday school lesson.